Grace and peace to you from the one who was and is to come. Jesus Christ says in his word, I am coming soon. Amen. Well, again, my name is Tom. I am the campus pastor at Concordia University, St. Paul, Minnesota. Are there any alums from Concordia, St. Paul, Minnesota here in the congregation? Okay, one. Let's sing the school song together. Should we do it? No. We will not do it. But Concordia, St. Paul, right down the road, many of you are familiar. B. Hagenson? Is that you? Hi, B. B and I are old friends. We go way back. Good morning. So I have been at Concordia St. Paul. My first call was actually to where B and I met in South Minneapolis, and then I was in North Minneapolis for 7 years, and then I was in Western New York for 4 years. Don't think Manhattan, think pine trees and cows in Western New York and Rochester. And now I've been back here at Concordia St. Paul for about 4 years. And many of you know Concordia as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school, maybe even a small school that trains pastors and teachers and church workers, DCOs and DCEs. Concordia St. Paul, as probably most of you are pretty aware, is a much different school than it used to be. Almost 5,000 students Concordia St. Paul is now, and has majors and areas of studies in a variety of regions. We just held our graduation 2 weekends ago, so it's a very, very busy time, and now not so busy. But I do want to update you on one thing, and that is I brought a t-shirt along. This is the thing I'm most excited about for Concordia St. Paul right now, is a new logo. Many of you are probably familiar with the four shields logo that Concordia has used for 25 years. There is something new that Concordia is using now. I don't know if you can all see it. But a CSP with the cross. How many of you have seen this logo? Okay, so CSP with the cross in it. See it over there, Josh and Martin. When I first saw this, I jumped out of my chair and I ran to the president's office and I said, have you seen this? And he said, yes, I have. And I said to President Reese, I said, I could do a brilliant 50-year campus ministry. I haven't started the brilliant part yet. I've been there 4 years. And it still wouldn't do what this has done in the first 6 months. Every jersey, every football helmet on the scoreboard, I'm just very, very excited about the cross in the middle of the CSP as far as how it represents Concordia St. Paul, because it speaks of its mission, of what Concordia has been, what Concordia is, and I pray what Concordia continues to be provoked by the Holy Spirit to speak God's word, that Christ has risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia, that those disciples on the road to Emmaus that were so excited to run all the way back to the city and say, we have seen the Lord, that's what we're doing at Concordia St. Paul. I pray that's what we're doing now, and pray that we continue to be doing that. Pray that that's the case for you as Emmaus and St. Paul as well. The message part, or the focus of the reading for me today is from the book of Acts. Paul is in the city of Athens, and Luke uses this phrase to describe what Paul experienced. Luke writes in Acts chapter 17, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. Have you had that happen to you before, where your spirit is provoked? And you kind of say, leave me alone, God. I'm provoked enough. My life, quite honestly, over the last 6 months, I have been provoked too much. I've been praying for a boring day, and it hasn't happened yet. It will. But has that happened to you? Has the spirit provoked you? Maybe in the same way that the Spirit provoked Paul. Luke writes, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. Has that happened to you? Have you been sitting there watching TV, or as you've been walking around Como, or you've been walking down the street, or sitting in your living room, or having dinner, or in the middle of the night, waking up and thinking of something? Has the Spirit provoked you? If your life is like mine, your life is a life of temptation. largely to say, I'm tempted to do that and I shouldn't. But there's a flip side to temptation. The temptation to say, I should probably say something. I should probably do something. I know this thing about that person and I should probably go over there, give him a half hug, give her a half hug, and say, the Lord is with you. Are you tempted to say something to someone and you say, Lord, I do not want to be provoked in this way? I think there's a bunch of responses that we have when that happened. Response number one, when the Spirit provokes you, when the Spirit provokes me, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I have to go pick up my kids. I have to go drop off my kids. I'm on my way to get a donut. Whatever the excuse may be, I'm too busy, Lord. Ask somebody else to speak the word. Excuse number two. Someone else will do it, won't they? If you see someone in need, if you're provoked by the Spirit and feel inclined to say something to somebody, a sister, a husband, a wife, a child, someone else will do it. Certainly, there's somebody else in that person's life that will be equally provoked to say something, and they'll take care of it. Excuse number three, and I know you've used this in your mind, maybe even with your mouth, the pastor will do it. Have you said this before? I have, and I'm a pastor. I grew up and my father was a pastor, and I'd often say that, well, Dad'll take care of it. Dad'll take care of that person. We certainly should do that and could do that, and we're even invited to do that. However, practically speaking, we put impossible expectations on our leaders in so many ways, including pastors, and there is no possible way. You have been placed in a unique set of relationships. There is no person like you in the history of the world, or the present or the future of the world, that has the social network that you have. There will never be another like you. Excuse, the last one, excuse number four, there are many others, I'm sure. Excuse number four, when we're provoked to say something by the Holy Spirit and we're tempted to say something by the Holy Spirit, but we say, hey, I don't have time. Someone else will do it. The pastor will do it. Last excuse that I'll share this morning, and that is, I don't know what to say. I won't know what to say. Luke writes, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked. This is my prayer for my life and my prayer for you. I'm praying for a boring day, I know. But I'm also praying that God would provoke me. Because quite honestly, I've used these excuses time after time after time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I've got more important things to do. Is there anything more important than speaking God's word? Someone else will do it. The pastor will do it. I won't know what to say. That's a real thing for me, as I've been a pastor for almost 20 years. And I still find situations with students, with neighbors. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Well, God has provoked us. And it's very easy for us to be tempted to speak a word of comfort, a work of gospel, a work of, hey, I don't know how to fix this, but I know someone who we can go to. Too often, we say excuse after excuse after excuse. May these Easter days be filled with, okay, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't have time. I'm sure someone else is provoked as well. But Lord, lead me, because here I go. And I'm not asking you to speak to everyone you're provoked to speak to. But what I am suggesting is maybe in the next month, maybe in the next year, there's some situation where God provokes you to share God's word, to share God's love, to share God's truth, mercy, and grace in a special way. And I would invite you to say, yes, Lord, I'm too busy. I don't know what to say. I hope someone else will come. The pastor might do a better job, but he probably won't. And I would invite you to take that opportunity, and like Paul did in Athens, and speaks in a powerful way, to share God's word in that situation when you are provoked. Because as we truly evaluate our priorities, Paul noticed idols all over in Athens, and there are idols all over in our own culture. Almost everywhere you look, there is something that slips in between our relationship with Christ. That's more important to us, certainly more important to our culture. We are covered, inundated with idols. May the Spirit provoke us. Because as I share with students often at Concordia St. Paul, there is no greater gift that you can give than to believe and trust in these words, that your sins are forgiven. Now go, and in the midst of relationship, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity in the midst of relationship to point to Christ. Doesn't have to be a thesis. Doesn't have to be a doctorate, doctrinal paper. But it can be simple words of grace, simple words of belief in the promises that Christ has for you. You have an opportunity in the midst of relationship to point to Christ. As I tell students at Concordia St. Paul, go graduate, go get a job, go make money, go make thousands, tens of thousands, go make $1 million, go make $1 billion, and make a gift back to Concordia St. Paul in the name of campus ministry to Tom Gunner. And please do that. That'd be great. Make it out to Emmaus. Go make your money. Go give your gifts. But a greater gift than a $1 billion gift that you have an opportunity to give today is to live forgiven in the grace of Christ, in the undeserved, almost, we could say, irresponsible love that God has given you in the blood and in the body, that we would be sent to give the greatest gift we can possibly give. Better than a $1 billion gift. $1 billion is only going to make your life miserable anyway. To believe and trust in these powerful words, be provoked, broken for you, shed for you, that the maker of the universe has loved you with an everlasting love and has sent you to live forgiven. You have the ability, through the grace of God, to give a greater gift than a $1 billion gift, to trust in these words. That God loves you, and God has sent his son to die for you, and that God provokes you to put your priorities in order and say, there is nothing more important than to share this very simple gift that God loves you with friends and neighbors, with that social network that nobody has, nobody ever had, nobody has today, and nobody ever will have that you have this very moment. And God sends you, God provokes you to go and speak his word of grace, love, and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, spend an eternity denying temptation to speak God's word, but to live God's word in word and deed, to share God's greatest gift of his love, to believe and trust in these words, broken and shed for you, and you are forgiven and sent in the midst of relationship to point to Christ. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.